Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and no one can really know what it's like to be in a war unless you've been there. But with every war documentary, perhaps we get a little closer to knowing what soldiers go through in combat. And while the war in Afghanistan, for us, seems to be a conflict between U.S. troops and the enemy, a film debuting at the IFC Center in Greenwich Village this week shows us the Danish side of the war. Armadillo, a documentary following a platoon of soldiers from Denmark in southern Afghanistan, caused great controversy when it was released to a Danish audience. The platoon has faced a government investigation and allegations that they broke army protocol and acted inhumanely during a firefight with the Taliban, which is depicted in a scene in the documentary. Joining me now to talk about Armadillo, opening today at the IFC Center here in New York, and we'll play some clips, is the Danish director, Janus Metz. Welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you.
You seem to have been afforded extraordinary access in this film, first of all. We're able to see them before deployment. Some of the soldiers even have cameras on their helmets. Tell us how this documentary came about and how the young men reacted to your presence.
Well, the documentary was actually, to start out with, projected as a six-part television series. And at the time when I embarked as a director of one of these episodes, the negotiations with the army, granting the access to the front line was already had already been made. So at the time when I came in, it was all a question of building sort of trust relationships with the individual soldiers that are in the film. Obviously, it exploded the frame of this television series and became into a full, it became a full feature documentary.
And of course, the film is subtitled for an English speaking audience. Everyone speaks mostly Danish in the film with a few phrases in English. But here's a clip where language really doesn't matter. This is from the beginning of the documentary at the airport as they say goodbye to their families. All right, and that really is kind of universal.
I guess
it could be troops going away from anywhere. Maybe you should tell our listeners, by way of background, why Denmark and Danish troops are in the war in Afghanistan. Here in the U.S., there is a 9/11 explanation, of course. And there's a tense but now established relationship between the U.S. and Afghanistan. But when most people here think of parties involved in Afghanistan, the last thing they think of might be Denmark.
Mm. Well, there's a big international coalition called ISAF, International Security Assistance Force, in Afghanistan that's, I think, composed out of some 30 countries. Denmark is one of those countries. And I think with the early sort of invasion of Afghanistan that was led by the Bush administration, quickly after that followed the need to kind of establish Afghanistan as an international intervention zone, through a UN mandate, and Denmark chose to back that, not least because a former prime minister who's now the head of NATO, Anders Fogh Rasmussen, worked in quite close links with the Bush administration. Maybe that's part of why he's got this job now.
Is there general support in Afghanistan or general opposition or very mixed?
In Denmark to the war?
Yes.
I think there was a great amount of support in the beginning, and there's still, good support for the troops. People are getting increasingly critical, with time. This has become a lengthy engagement. And I think a film like Armadillo certainly helped opening and widening the debate for a critical perspective.
Let's talk about the scene that has caused so much controversy in Denmark, one of the firefights with the Taliban. In a debriefing, one of the soldiers says that they, quote, liquidated the Taliban as humanely as possible, unquote. Tell us about how that firefight unfolded and how people reacted in Denmark.
Well, the firefight in itself was quite chaotic. I mean, there's five you know, they plan an ambush. The Danish troops plan an ambush for a group of Taliban that they've found out where, you know, they're meeting up. And during that ambush, they find out that there's a group of Taliban fighters lying in a ditch some 5-10 meters away from them, very close distance. They throw a grenade and then they run over and sort of shoot into the ditch. And
so it really was a liquidation.
Well, liquidation is a term for murder in military terminology. It's very, it's kind of a gray zone situation. I don't know exactly what happened because I wasn't, one of the first people up there. But it's certainly suggested in the film that they might have crossed the line and shot too much and, shot wounded people that were trying to surrender or whatever. For me, it's one of those things that, it's a document and a testimony to the sort of brutalization of the mind that takes place for soldiers at war, and that, that's a universal story. We see it all the time. Whether they could be convinced by any, in any sort of martial court or not, I'm not the one to say.
But in the court of public opinion in Denmark, once your film was shown there, what happened?
There was a big outcry, not just because of this incident, but also because of the sheer brutality of the, the images, what I'd filmed. I think the rhetorics around the war in Denmark before Armadillo came out was almost, it was more or less seen as a peacekeeping mission. We're there to build girls' schools. We're there to secure the livelihoods of the civil Afghans. And then this film comes out that shows, well, Afghanistan is, much more about fighting than actually building girls' schools.
We're talking about the new movie Armadillo, documentary about the Afghanistan war, opening today at the IFC Center in Lower Manhattan with the Danish director. I'm sorry, did you say your first name?
Janos.
Janos, I was right. Janos Metz. And let's play another clip because the film shows far more than combat, and there's really a lot of interaction shown between the platoon and the people of southern Afghanistan.
Tell him that we're very sorry that we have destroyed his field, and I hope he know why we're going on his fields.
He just left like he said that what's our fault, He said, how do we know about that?
Yeah. We try to minimize the walk in the fields.
So you heard a little bit of a translator speaking to some men in English who do not want to be associated with the troops for fear of Taliban retribution. You want to tell us a little bit more? At the end, it was something like, what, you can't ever get rid of the Taliban, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the scene ends out, the soldiers have these meetings with the farmers living in the area constantly, and what they're saying is, well, you can't secure us anyway, so why don't you guys just leave the area and leave us be? At least we'll have peace. At least our farmhouses are not going to get bombed, people fighting because they're poor. And what's unclear throughout the film is, the sympathies and alliances that these farmers actually have. There's this perception that once we get, if we're able to clear the Taliban out of the area, this is what the soldiers tell themselves, these people will be free. They'll be free to sort of outlive their inner democratic potentials. But it seems like,
people aren't necessarily buying that, right? At every turn in the film, people are asking, why are you damaging my crops? Why have you killed my animals? Why are you here? So do you think people are just ambivalent? They don't really care whether they live under the Taliban or whether they live under something that we think of as more benign than the Taliban, as long as people aren't coming around and destroying their stuff?
If you're a farmer living in Helmand province in Afghanistan, then, you are just occupied with with your own survival. That's what comes first. Whoever's in power is secondary to that. So they certainly don't see it as a means of establishing security that there's Western forces there. They see the Western soldiers as aliens that walk around in their fields, and they're very frustrated. You know, they lose family members, their livestock gets killed, their houses gets bombed. You know, they as in all wars, the civilians are just stuck between a rock and a hard place.
And tell us a little bit about the look of the film, because it looks at times like a Hollywood feature film, beautifully shot, so much so that it makes it look like a Hollywood production. The last shot is one of the soldiers back home in a shower, looking emotionally at the camera, appearing to be crying maybe, or it's water running down his face from the shower, but it could be the end of a feature film. It seems not staged, but as if it could have been. Was that your intention?
Well, the intention was to harness cinema to talk about sort of the universal topics in that the film tries to deal with, some deep-rooted psychological structures at place or at stake in a war situation, the sort of fall from grace or heart of darkness narrative that the film portrays. And, you know, more than just seeing Armadillo as a physical outpost in Afghanistan on a front line in a very specific war, it's also a universal sort of place. It's a mental outpost for, you know, young men that have traveled out to the end of civilization, you might say. And I really wanted to draw people's attention to this, to not just make it an extended newsreel from Afghanistan.
But it's saturated in color. Some critics have said that the camera work echoes an action film. Were you looking for the most striking, moments or scenes of color in which to make the film? And does that affect how the viewer is supposed to see it?
I think we have become used to thinking about documentary filmmaking as shot in a particular kind of way. The fact that lightweight cameras have become so accessible, the fact that, you know, you can shoot hours of material and try to edit it together into a story in the editing room afterwards, and the fact that often these types of war movies or movies that are shot under extreme circumstances almost tend to suggest that this is so extreme it couldn't have been done by a proper film crew. I think is just as big a bias into, you know, the craft of filmmaking. We're trying to make character-driven film that transcends and transmits experiences to audiences. And I think, you know, even if you go back and look at some of the Vietnam photography, I mean, some of that, the most powerful photography from Vietnam, they look like Renaissance paintings.
Absolutely. All right, Janusz Metz, his new documentary about Afghanistan, Armadillo, opens today at the IFC Center here in New York. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.